Well, we are coming to the conclusion of our series on the outsiders, and we are going to be looking at one of the most famous passages in all of Scripture. In my Bible, it's titled, Love Your Neighbor. Most people know it as the parable of the Good Samaritan. Indeed, these words are so well known, maybe even so cliche, I wonder if we can really hear them anew and fresh this morning. So that is our challenge, I think. To wonder, do we still have something to learn from this story? And I would say, of course we do. So let's listen once again for the word of the Lord. A legal expert stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to gain eternal life? Jesus replied, what is written in the law? How do you interpret it? He responded, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said to him, you have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live. But the legal expert wanted to prove that he was right. So he said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus replied, a man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He encountered thieves who stripped him naked, beat him up, and left him near death. Now it just so happened that a priest was going down the same road. And when he saw the injured man, he crossed over to the other side of the road and went on his way. Likewise, a Levite came by that spot and saw the injured man and also crossed over to the other side of the road and went on his way. A Samaritan who was on a journey, came to where the man was. But when he saw him, he was moved with compassion. The Samaritan went to him, bandaged his wounds, tending them with oil and wine. Then he placed the wounded man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took full days worth of wages, and gave them to the innkeeper. And he said, take care of him, and when I return, I will pay you back for any additional costs. Now, what do you think? Which one of these three was a neighbor to the man who encountered the thieves? The legal expert said, the one who demonstrated mercy toward him. And Jesus told him, go and do likewise. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy God, we would ask as we reflect once again on your sacred scriptures for us that we would have our ears, our eyes, our minds, and our hearts opened for what you have to say to us, so that we would turn and live. Amen. So as we think through this story a little bit together, we're told at the very beginning that a legal expert comes and asks Jesus a question. So this isn't your run-of-the-day, you know, mundane kind of lawyer. This was a legal expert. He had leveled up, right? He was the guy that knew the most about the law. And we're not necessarily talking about civil law as we think about it today, but law, right, of the Hebrew scriptures. So he knew the text. It's really curious, isn't it? It's like he knew the text better than anyone. He was an expert. And yet somehow he was missing something. And so he comes to ask Jesus, what must he do to get eternal life? Well, Jesus, in a sort of a typical rabbi way, actually reverses it and asks him the question, puts it back on him. Well, how do you read the law? How do you interpret it? And so he pulls out this passage as though he knows the answer is in here somewhere. Beloved, the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul or life or being, with all your strength and with all your mind. And then he also tacks on a line from Leviticus, because he knows somehow maybe they're connected. Love your neighbor as yourself. Like when you're loving God, you're called to love your neighbor. In the act of loving your neighbor, you're loving God. And Jesus says to him, well, do that. And you will live. You will have life. But the text says, wanting to prove himself, and we're not so sure about the tone there. Is he kind of arrogant, you know, still trying to prove Jesus wrong? Or is he trying to say that he's trying to make sure that he has the right answer? That's almost kind of how I read it. He's kind of like that anxious student in the classroom that's getting straight A's, but still they're really concerned that they're still getting something wrong, right? You know, like wanting to prove that he's right. He says, well, then who is my neighbor? As though the answer's got to be in there, right? Who is my neighbor? How do I do this? And so Jesus tells him a story. And you almost kind of wonder, once he launches into the story, does the legal expert give him this big eye roll, you know? Oh my gosh, I just want the answer, okay? Give me a parable. Well, Jesus tells him there's a man going from Jerusalem to Jericho, from the house of worship, the place of worship, down to Jericho. Who knows why he's going there? Maybe he lives there or has business there. But on the way, he gets beat up. And left for dead. Well, it just so happens, and fortunately even, a priest is coming by, maybe also just leaving worship, like a good worship, you know, like a good church member, on his way on the road. But instead of helping, he sees the man, crosses over, and walks on his way. And then also a Levite, somebody who is from a particular family, a particular tribe of the house of Israel, which all their jobs are assigned to helping and assisting in temple and with their worship and with their religion. A Levite also comes by and sees this man, and so too also crosses over to the other side of the road. Is Jesus kind of hinting, right, at these people like the legal expert, the people that would know the law the best, but are unmoved? And so now Jesus says, a Samaritan too comes by. And you probably have heard this before, but Samaritans are kind of the arch enemies, or they're kind of like the local rivalry with the Jewish population. And they actually have a shared history together. What happened was when the Babylonians took the Jews off into exile, mostly the upper class or the influential people in the society. We're not exactly sure about the percentage of how many people, but they were taken off into exile, and there they began to live in a community away from home. But that also left a lot of Jews behind, wondering what to do, how to live. Without their temple or their religious structures or community structures, they had to rebuild a life. And so they did. They began to rebuild their cities, and they even began to intermarry with other people in the area. And then, after 100 years almost, the Jews were allowed to return and rebuild their temple. And they saw these families that their relatives had started to make and the lives they've started to form, and they pushed them away. The Jews began to rebuild their temple, and the Samaritans wanted to come and help, but the Jew says, no, we don't want you part of our community anymore. You're no longer Jews. And so they went off and began to make their own house of worship and live in their own area and practice their own religion. So even though they have this sort of shared history and relatives in life, they had grown into this group, biddle rivalry kind of group, opposing forces, seeing each other as the enemy. And so now a Samaritan comes by. And so who is a Samaritan? Person from that rival town or neighborhood? Somebody maybe of a different race, perhaps? Somebody from even a different religion comes by And he sees the man lying there. And it says that he's moved with compassion. It's interesting for me as I read this story of the Good Samaritan. One of the ways to interpret it, I think, is that Jesus is trying to illustrate what this verse means, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. And he sees this legal expert, and he knows that he's loving the Lord with all his mind, because he's got a wonderful mind, a brilliant mind. But maybe he's trying to get him out of the mind into the rest of his body. And so he tells the story about this Samaritan who sees this injured man and is moved with compassion, with his heart, to help this person. And then he goes and he bandages his wounds. And he says that he rubs oil and wine on them, and it's kind of a way to maybe disinfect, kind of an ancient medicine probably, to disinfect the wounds. And then he puts them on his own donkey and carries him to an inn. So not only is he caring for him with his heart, his compassion, in the Greek it's this great word, splanchnon, it's the guts actually. He was moved in his guts to help this man. But then he also uses his strength. Oh, the word doesn't really mean strength. If you go back to what the legal scholar was quoting in Deuteronomy 6, the Hebrew word is mehod. And mehod, it's a fun word to say. You want to try it? Mehod. It actually usually is translated as like very or greatly. If you look it up in your Hebrew dictionary, it actually even has the word muchness, although I don't know how to use muchness in a sentence. But it's like love the Lord your God with all your ability, or maybe with that something extra. It's like if you're going to do something, do it all the way, right? Don't do it part way. Go beyond. So love the Lord your God with that special something, with everything you've got, with your mehod, with your muchness. And so you have the Samaritan who loves with his heart, loves with his muchness, and then loves with his soul, his being, his life. Have you ever had this happen where you've read a text 6,000 times? I mean, I don't know how many times I've read the Good Samaritan, and the detail that you didn't notice before pops out at you that you've never seen. Well, this happened to me again as I was reading the Good Samaritan. And I think what has happened is that I've also often seen this parable acted out before. And when you see a parable acted out, right, it has to kind of go quickly along. And so it usually happens where you see the guys beat him up, and you've got the one guy who crosses over, the other guy crosses over, the Samaritan picks him up, brings him to an inn, pays the innkeeper some money, says I'll be back, and then leaves, and then the parable's over. But in verse 35, it really clearly says, the next day, the Samaritan got out his money and gave it to the innkeeper. The next day. And that means that everything else in the story happened the day before. You following what I'm... Is this obvious to you? Okay. Which means that the Samaritan bandaged this guy's wounds, put him on the donkey, took him to the inn, and then cared for him that whole night long. And then the next day, he maybe had to go somewhere. Maybe he knew finally the guy was okay a little bit on his own. Had to do some business, so he goes to the innkeeper, pays him the money that he'll need to keep him there, and then goes off to do what he has to do. And it's interesting, right? Because the Samaritan doesn't live in Judea between Jerusalem and Jericho. He lives somewhere else. It says actually in the text that he's on a journey. You wonder, what is he doing there? And why is he away from home? And who's at home waiting for him? And he, instead of doing his business and just wanting to get back to home, he says, I'll come back and check on him. so indeed the Samaritan loves with his splanknon, with his mehod, but also with his very life, losing hours and days to take care of this person. Quick word about neighbor. For who is my neighbor is the question that gets asked. Well, certainly, as Jesus was telling the story, it is a Jewish man that gets beat up and robbed there. So the Jews probably maybe would have put themselves in the place of the person lying half dead on the road. So one way to think about the neighbor is whoever it is that you would accept help from when you desperately need it. But perhaps another way also to think about it, if we would put ourselves in the role of the Good Samaritan, which I think Jesus also calls us to do, is to think about our neighbor as whoever comes across our path and is in need. So, my brothers and sisters, may we live with our minds, but maybe be more. Love the Lord your God, with our minds, but maybe more than that. May we also learn to love with our hearts, love with our muchness, and love with our very lives. And may we also widen the circle of who is our neighbor to whoever needs it, whoever is in our path in the time that we come across them. And may we do it. And may this give life and give us life. Amen.